Today, our speaker is Dr. Gerardo A. Alfaro. He's professor of theological studies for DTS in Espanol. Gerardo A. Alfaro is a native of El Salvador. His theological interests include Christology, theological method, and contemporary and liberation theology. Along with his teaching ministry, Dr. Alfaro has served as pastor in the local church both in Central America and in the United States. He and his wife, Alma, are committed to missions and evangelism. Amen. They continue to collaborate in training Christian leaders both locally and abroad. Join with me in welcoming Dr. Alfaro today to our chapel.
You did a great job pronouncing my name. Pastor Joel? Did I pronounce it right? Thank you very much for giving me this privilege of speaking to you this morning, especially with my limited English. I don't want you to suffer this morning, but if you suffer with my English, bring it to the Lord. You know? Sing it to the Lord. I want to open my Bible in Psalm 147 and take you quickly through this psalm that teaches something very profound. And that something is you need to praise the Lord. You need to sing to the Lord. This psalm is one of the series called the Hallelujah Psalms. And it's divided in three major stanzas. Basically, each of them starting with an exhortation, with a command, with a motivation for us to praise and sing to the Lord. We need to sing to the Lord. It's a privilege, it's an obligation, it's something natural for those of us who are Christians, who call themselves believers in the Lord. Let me start the suffering for you then. Now, let me read from Psalm 147, the first six verses. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For it is good to sing praises to our God. Yes, praise is pleasant and appropriate. The Lord reveals Jerusalem and gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He names them all. Our Lord is great and has an awesome power. There is no limit to his wisdom. The Lord lifts up the oppressed, but knocks the wicked to the ground. If you read the whole psalm, you will discover at least nine major reasons for you and for me to praise and to sing to the Lord. I know I only have 15 minutes, so don't worry about it. I'm going to run through those nine things to show you how those three stanzas tell you and invite you to praise and sing to the Lord and not to leave the singing to the Lord only to the professionals. This is something that you need to do even if you don't sing well. Even if you don't sing, not even in the shower. You know, sing to the Lord. Praise to the Lord. Nine reasons for that. The first reason that you find in this verses that I just read is that the Lord reveals Jerusalem. Jerusalem has been promised by the Lord to be revealed. God is in the business, as you say in the U.S. In the U.S., everything is about business. So you need to say, God is in the business of rebuilding Jerusalem, rebuilding the church, rebuilding you, building up you. And that is something that is great. And we need to praise him for that. I mean, aren't you glad that the Lord is remaking you? Remaking you? You are going to be different. We're going to be different, and that's something to be grateful for. The second reason that he gives us here in verse 3 is that he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. He is the one who heals me, not only for physical diseases, sicknesses, but everything. The New Testament calls him the God of all consolation. He is the one who heals me. He is the one who is interested in give me healment, give me sanity in this regard. Everything God is has to do with he doing something in me, healing me. And nowadays we need a lot of healing, don't we? We need a lot of healing. It's good to sing to the Lord because he is the one who heals me. I don't know how many of you are brokenhearted at this. The semester was hard, professor were rude, you know, you didn't pass the class, you feel like you don't belong here, you know. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord because he is the one who heals you. In verse 6, you have another reason for praising and singing to the Lord. The Lord lifts up the oppressed, but knocks down the wicked to the ground. Let's sing to the Lord in the conviction that sooner or later, the Lord will lift up the oppressed and knock down the wicked. Yes, it is true. Nowadays, the wicked seem to reign. The one who is evil seems to be in dominion, in control. But the conviction of the Christian is that sooner or later, the Lord will bring down those wicked and lift those oppressed up. The second stanza begins in verse 7, and again, offer to the Lord a song of thanks. Sing praises to our God to the accompaniment of a harp. I'm reading the NET Bible, and the NET Bible translates harp here. But some scholars tell us that word that is used there for harp should be translated better, guitarra. How do you like that? Like a mariachi. Sing to the Lord with a guitarra, you know? And three more reasons are given to us. In verse 8, he says, he covers the sky with clouds, provides the earth with rain, and causes grass to grow on the hillsides. He gives food to the animals and to the young ravens when they chirp. He is not enamored with the strength of a horse, nor is he impressed by the warrior's strong legs. The Lord takes delight in his faithful followers and in those who wait for his loyal law. Let's sing to the Lord and hear three more reasons for that. He is the one who gives rain, even in Texas. You can see that this week. He is the one who gives food for everyone, including these ugly little animals mentioned here. He is the one who gives food and to the young ravens, you call cuervos, ravens, young ravens when they chirp. Pay attention to that little sentence there. Okay, let's sing to the Lord. I think the basic lesson from that little sentence there is just, it doesn't matter. I mean, you need to be really an animal lover to find in the description of little ravens something pleasing, something good. You remember? Little, you know, big heads, big eyes, making all kind of noises. Here, the word is chirp. Not even sing. They chirp. What is the lesson for me? No matter how ugly you are, no matter how bad you sing, sing to the Lord. Chirp to the Lord. Because he is the one who really appreciates this. Even the small ravens, when they chirp, receive the food. Sing to the Lord again and once again. And one of the most mysterious passages in the Bible is verse 10. The way the NET Bible translates this is very good. He is not enamored, he's not in love with the strength of a horse, nor is he impressed by the strong legs of a man, the legs of a man. Don't you think that this is strange? It's weird, isn't it? I mean, what is he trying to say here? It's strange for me that he doesn't say, you know, God doesn't like the legs of a woman, for example. It says legs of a man? What type of beauty does leg of a man have? I still remember, and my wife, my mother has remind me this often. When I was a small boy, probably 4 or 5 years old, playing with my dad in the bed, you know, I used to tell him repeatedly, piernas ecas, papá. Piernas ecas, papá. Baby talk. You know, baby talk, meaning skinny legs, dad. Skinny legs, dad. Seeing the legs of my dad, of course. When I grew up, I discovered that he wasn't the one with the skinny legs. I am the one with the skinny legs. But to be honest with you, when you read this, what I think God is telling us here is that he is not enamored. The word, the verb that is used here and is translated by the NET Bible, enamored, has to do with the desire. God doesn't feel attracted to those who trust in their capacities or in their beauty or their strength, their abilities, those who think that because they are beautiful, those who think that they are capable, that they have the capacity, the energy, God is not attracted to them. There's a lot of things that we develop at the seminary. There's a lot of abilities that you learn at the seminary. You learn all types of things at seminary. Capacities, you receive all kinds of knowledge and things that you control and develop. Yes, you know, you learn all the subjunctives and things in Greek and in Hebrew and in theology, of course, you know, like learning what is the hypostatic union, for example. Do you know that? You know, if you don't know, you're lost. You're doomed. But don't you feel blessed that God is the one who tells you, I don't feel attracted with your capacity for memorizing all the tenses of the Greek alphabet and everything else. I don't feel attracted. That's good, and it's necessary and probably indispensable, but that's not what really makes me feel attracted to you. What God is attracted to is the one who shows a commitment to him, those who fear him, those who have a good relationship, a solid relationship with God, those who wait in his chesed, in his loving kindness, faithfulness, those are the ones that are, producing God. This word, enamor. Reason to praise God? Yes. Where were we if God would prefer to be with the heavy guys who have all the knowledge of Greek and Hebrew and systematic theology? And me? What would you do if he wasn't attracted to the guy with big legs, strong? I praise the Lord because even though some of those things are needed and important in ministry, what he is in love with is with the one who shows commitment and his relationship with God, and who is delighted in waiting for God to respond in his chesed, his faithful love. The third stanza begins in this psalm in verse 12. Extol the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he makes the bars of your gates strong. He blesses your children within you. He brings peace to your territory. He abundantly provides for you the best grain. He sends his command through the earth. Swiftly his order reaches its destination. He sends the snow that is white like wool. He spreads the frost that is white like ashes. He throws his hailstones like crumbs. Who can withstand the cold wind he sends? He then orders it all to melt. He breathes on it and the water flows. He proclaims his word to Jacob, his statutes and regulations to Israel. He has not done so with any other nation. They are not aware of his regulation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the third stanza again presents three more reasons for you to sing to the Lord. And I know in Spanish it rhymes, because I have here, if you take a look close to this passage, I have three things that summarize the content of this sentence, of this stanza: protección, paz, y palabra. Protección, paz y palabra. Probably the first two are very easy to use some intuition. Protection, of course. Peace, paz, and palabra. That's where English is wrong. You know, you should change your English there, because it's paz o protección, paz y palabra. Word, word. Word. We need to praise and sing to the Lord, because he is the one who gives us protection. For he makes the bars of your gates strong. Protection. He is the one who really protects you. Yes, of course, you lock the door at night when you go to sleep, but the one who really protects you is God. The one who really is supervising you is God. And of course, the psalm, as the Bible in general, is talking beyond physical protection. When you read, for example, the Lord Jesus in his last words before the cross, you find him saying that we will find persecution and we will even be killed by those who don't believe. But he said, be sure, you are safe. You are protected. Not even one hair of your head will be lost. You are protected. You are protected. No matter what the man can do for you, God has you in his hand and you are protected. So let's sing to the Lord because of that. Even if, you know, it's interesting when you check why people are coming to the U.S., they think in general that they will find more protection here. And sometimes they die in the trip to come here. And sometimes we discover that almost 20 children can be killed one day in one sitting. Protection? What is our protection? Who gave you the joy of being protected? So the psalm reminds us that the one who really protects us and he keeps the bars of our gates strong and our children within them safe is our God. Let's sing to the Lord. He is also our peace, he says in verse 14. He brings peace to your territory, translate the NET Bible. The word used is borders. Borders. He brings peace to your borders. Do you know what's going on in the border of the U.S. nowadays? this will tell me something, you know, about the U.S. in terms of his relationship with God. He is the one who brings peace to your border. And finally, the third thing that the stanza mentions is that we need to give thanks and praise and sing to God because of his word. A word that is, at least in this passage, has three main characteristics. It's a word that is swift, quick, and efficient. He sends his commands through the earth. Swiftly, his order reaches the destination. He sends the snow that is white like wool. He spreads his frost that is white like ashes. He throws his hailstones like crumbs. Who can withstand the cold wind he sends? The word of God is quick and is efficient. And we need to praise him for that. We need to praise him for that because his word is like this, so the psalm says, but also because his word is unstoppable. And so he says, who can withstand the cold wind when he sends? He sends. Unstoppable. And finally, 15 minutes already? There you are, you see. And finally, he says, he proclaims his word to Jacob, his statutes and regulations to Israel. I mean, sometimes we take for granted that we have DTS and we have so many copies of the scriptures and we are able to study them and learn it and memorize them and apply them and use them in our devotionals and read it whenever we want to read them. And we forget that there have been so many people during the history of humanity who haven't had that privilege. You have the word of the Lord, a word that is quick, swiftly, unstoppable, and is sovereign and exclusive for those who want, he wants to have them. No other nation has had this privilege, he says here. So let's praise the Lord. Let's sing to the Lord. Don't leave the singing to the professionals. You know, this is not about me hearing them, this is about God hearing you, even your chirps, even, you know, whatever you sing to the Lord, because he is good, is natural, it says the psalm at the very beginning. And if you don't do it, something is not natural with you. So at the end of this psalm, the psalm finishes with, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand with me? Let me listen to you and let listen to the Lord something similar. I know in Espanol we don't say hallelujah. We say hallelujah without the H sound. And so let's say, you know, the Lord is good. The Lord has given us so many blessings. He has given us in this psalm at least 9 things that we need to praise him for. Hallelujah. Let me hear you. Hallelujah. I don't hear you. Hallelujah. Ahora digámoslo en español. Aleluya. Father, thank you for your presence with us in this psalm. Thank you for everything that you have done for us. Allow us the privilege, Lord, of keeping singing to you, your greatness, your goodness, your presence with us. Don't allow us, Lord, to believe that this is not something that you don't want from us. We want to sing for you all the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.